I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey guys, my name is Dean Ungler, and I suck at dating. I don't know how this happened, but it seems like overnight I became the poster child for just being horrible at dating. And this is what it's come to. I currently am launching a podcast to work through this. Not the most proud moment of my life. I would probably say my college graduation was number one. This probably isn't even the top 100, but we're doing it anyways. Oh, let's introduce everyone we got in the studio. We got Easton, who is getting married on Saturday.
Hello, thank you.
Thank you for being here.
It's great to be here. I'm really excited. I'm excited to spend my last week as a bachelor here with you,
yes.
learning some skills.
We've got a few more days. Congratulations again. We got Mark, who is happily married 15 years.
15 years married. Yes, sir. I don't know that I could give you any advice, but if it comes up, I'm happy to try.
And as we just discussed, he met his wife when he was 26, which is my current age.
I was 26 and she was 18.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mark, was there ever a moment where you sucked at dating?
Oh, all of it. I never stopped until I met her. And it's like what you have told me you're looking for, where it just is easy and it all falls into place.
And that's what happened when you met her.
Yeah, no more games. Because everybody else is playing games. Oh, do I call back? When do I call back? Should I wait for them to call back? And now, of course, there's texting. There wasn't at the time. But there was all the games. But with Amy, there were no games.
Okay, gotcha. And then how about yourself, Easton?
When did I meet my wife-to-be?
Yeah, I'd love to hear.
We met working at a movie theater together 10 years ago.
Okay.
And it took 5 years to get to the point where we were dating. We were friends for that time.
Okay.
So it was a very long vetting process. But but just like Mark said, it was so easy once it actually happened. And I'm a big fan of being friends first. I think that was a cool thing to do because we knew each other. She knows me better than anyone else in the world. Mm-hmm. And I know her, I assume, better than anyone else in the world. I'm really excited to spend the rest of my life with her.
I love that. Yeah. So I'm a big advocate of being friends with someone before you date them as well. For you, was it an awkward transition to go from a friendship to a romantic relationship with her?
No, it wasn't, but I was afraid of it because I had another friend previously that things took a romantic turn and did not end very well.
Oh.
Now we are not friends. So I was worried about that happening, but it was meant to be,
yeah.
I'd say.
So I have a similar experience to that too. I dated a girl in Los Angeles who was in our friend group. We hung out probably every weekend with, you know, a big group of friends, whatever it is. And that eventually evolved into a romantic relationship, and we dated. And we still operate very much in the same friend group, but it just is a little tricky sometimes to navigate that, you know? Sometimes past feelings come up, I guess, when you're hanging out. Sometimes you just don't even want to be seeing them flirting with anyone else. So it's good that you've kind of experienced both sides of that, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So let's start this podcast with your advice. Everywhere I go, people give me advice on dating, and I'm definitely open to it. I think that's the whole reason for starting this podcast, to fix my suckiness at dating. So let's start with Moran. Moran, are you there?
It's Moran.
Moran. I'm sorry. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for calling in. What advice do you have for me?
Well, me and my friend Nikki. Nikki says hi.
Hey, Nikki. Hey.
We wanted to say that next time you're stuck in a love triangle or just, you know, you're dating one girl, we should be super honest with them. But if it's a love triangle, I think it's best that you leave both girls and take time to, like, be with yourself.
So honesty, you think, is the most important thing?
I do think honesty is the most important thing because I think, like, if, for example, in Paradise, if you were, like, more honest with Christina, she probably would have understood it more and, like, you would have had less backlash because I kind of thought the backlash sucked because people weren't, like, mature enough to understand what was going on, you know?
Right.
And that really sucked. I didn't like seeing that, you know?
Yeah. That makes sense. Moran, have you or Nikki ever been in a love triangle?
I've been in your situation, yes. And they both don't know each other.
Oh.
So
do you think, but don't you think you're kind of being dishonest there?
I think that they're not even on the same coast, so I'm okay.
Okay, but
I'm not a good person.
No, Ron, it's okay. But if you were on the same beach as the two guys, then you would be openly honest with them about everything.
Honestly, with the two guys right now, and that were to happen, I would leave both of them if they were on the same beach because that's too stressful for me. And I think convenience is, like, the most most important thing. So, right. Yeah, I love beauty.
Maran, we will not cast you for Next Bachelor in Paradise, but thank you so much for the time for calling
what?
In. By the way,
you've answered me and my friend Nikki on Twitter, and we were in Italy at the time, and we screamed so loud. We probably scared all the Italians, but it was the most exciting thing that's happened to us. We love you. We do hope.
I'm glad we finally got a chance to talk. You guys are so amazing. Thank you so much.
You're amazing. Thank you.
Have a good day. All right, next. Next is Savannah in North Carolina. Savannah, do you have any sound advice for me?
Hi. Yeah, I thought this was a joke, but here you are. yeah, I called mostly just to see where the number went. But my advice was that you were a real fan favorite on The Bachelorette because you were so open with Rachel and treated her with such kindness. And I think the transparency shifted when you were on Bachelor in Paradise. So I think my advice would just be try to channel the way that you behaved on that first kind of round with Rachel, because that was what a lot of people were really impressed by.
So Savannah, you think it's transparency, not just in what relationships, but just of every facet of life or anything specifically?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is so funny, but yeah, I think the reason that a lot of people were really charmed and impressed was because you were so transparent about all of the things that you had going on in your life, in addition to kind of your feelings in the relationship. And I think I heard you made a point about the love triangle on Bachelor in Paradise, that just like you felt like you were being transparent with everyone, but I feel like Danielle and Christina didn't really know the full scope of what was going on the other end. So I think maybe just being fully open about what was going on, or trying to allow everyone to have full agency in their decisions by knowing all information.
Yeah, I understand that. And even watching it back, I think that I maybe in the moment I thought I was telling the truth, but I was probably not right. As honest as I should have been to spare the feelings of whoever I was talking to. So that definitely makes sense.
Right. Yeah, I think it was kind of like sweetly painful to watch kind of your reaction throughout the season, because you kept putting these self-deprecating comments on the internet. And we were like, okay, everyone makes mistakes. It's okay. But yeah, did not get a great cut on that one.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's always next time, I guess. But Savannah, thank you for calling in. Thank you for the advice. And I promise I'll continue to work on it.
Yeah, good luck in the future. Cool for taking everyone's opinion.
Yeah, of course. Take care.
Yeah, have a good one.
Tia in Sacramento, you say it's my eyes? What are you saying?
No, I was saying I feel like you're terrible at eye contact.
I've actually heard that quite a bit recently.
Yeah, but it's so true. And I feel like when you're like saying something to somebody, it's so hard to believe it when you're like completely avoiding eye contact with them, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I do have maybe struggles with making eye contact. I think it basically is mostly during like the difficult conversations. And I think that's probably when it's most important. But it is funny watching back these TV shows and like not making eye contact the entire time. It kind of comes across as maybe even just like being scared or disingenuous, but that was never the case. It's just I struggle with looking someone in the eyes maybe when I'm telling them something they don't want to hear. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but I feel like if you work on that, I feel like that will help you a lot.
Okay. So are you saying that you're good at eye contact?
Yeah, because I feel like it's not even that you're like a little bad at eye contact. It just seems almost like you avoid eye contact, like 90% of the time. And so I just feel like it's harder to take, like when you're talking, it's harder to like believe what you're saying. You know what I mean? When you're just like avoiding looking at that person.
No, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. I definitely have to continue to work on that.
I agree.
Okay. I promise. If you ever see me on another Bachelor show again, I will be making eye contact the entire time, whether it's with the camera or the person I'm talking to. And I'll have you to thank for that.
Perfect. You're welcome.
Thank you, Tia. Have a great day. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Right. Okay, so one thing we'll be doing with this podcast is each week we will be bringing in a dating experts of sorts. I'm in studio here with two experts, but these may be more famously expert relationship gurus of sorts. So this week we'll be starting with Rachel DeAlto, the dating expert from Married at First Sight. Rachel, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming on.
I'm happy to be here.
So, Rachel, I'd love for you to start off by telling us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Sure. I focus on dating and relationships. I'm a coach and like to help people find love or figure out if they want love, and everything in between. So I work with singles and I work with couples, and occasionally I marry strangers. So it's a whirlwind of activities.
So outside of the show Married at First Sight, you kind of do this full time.
I do. Yeah, this is a real gig. So I work with people every day. I coach them. And, you know, like I said, it's single, it's people looking for love. So if they're dating and having some troubles, and people who are in relationships and want to stay in a relationship and want to work through some challenges, as you know, I mean, they arrive. So yeah, I do it on the off TV as well.
Love it. So what kind of like training do you have for it?
I used to be a lawyer, so I'm really good at splitting people up. but I am a certified coach, so I decided to leave law. I was a litigator and, you know, did what every lawyer does, leave the law and become a coach and focus on love and dating. So I went back to school and became a coach, and then I went back and got a hypnotherapist training, too.
Oh, wow.
So I'm big into yoga and meditation. And
does the hypnotherapy play into the Married at First Sight?
Actually, yeah, I've done it quite a few times with the cast on Married at First Sight. We did a whole hypnosis for Sonia last season, season 4, where she was deathly afraid of dogs. And I don't think they showed any of it on the show, but we did a hypnosis and all of a sudden she was fine with dogs. Huh. And I've done it for other people off TV too that have been a part of it, just to kind of, you know, release any anxiety. Sometimes, I don't know if you had this, being on TV can cause some some anxious moments.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So I like to help them out on the outside as well.
So what are some common mistakes that you see?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I see over and over again is people date very unintentionally. And I may have seen this a little bit watching a little Bachelor in Paradise. you love dogs, so I think you're awesome. but I think that like a big mistake that I saw was it was very unintentional. And I think people do that a lot. We get into a situation where we kind of just go with our feelings and kind of that euphoria feeling, and it leads us in a bunch of different directions and we have no intention to it. So you're just kind of like all over the place. I like to call that kind of the blue shirt at Marshall's. You know, you go into Marshall's, and I don't know if you shop. I go into Marshall's or TJ Maxx, no shame. And I walk in, I get so overwhelmed because there's just like options everywhere. And it's kind of like a candy store and it's just a lot. But when you date intentionally, you can go in and be like, I want a blue shirt. And all of a sudden at Marshall's or TJ Maxx, you know, you see a blue shirt popping out everywhere. And it's kind of the same thing with dating, like know what you're looking for. And a lot of people don't know what they're looking for. But do you know what you're looking for?
Well, let's use that then. So say you go into Marshall's and you're looking for a blue shirt, but you're also looking for a red shirt, but you only have to get one shirt. Do you think that it's possible to date two people at the same time? Is it possible to go in and buy two shirts?
You can get all the shirts you want, but you need to let the people know that you're getting all the shirts.
Okay, so as long as the blue shirt knows that you're buying the red shirt.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm buying all these shirts, I'm creating a wardrobe, but I'm going to be totally honest with you, and I'm going to be upfront about my intentions of like, listen, I don't want a relationship, or I don't think I want a relationship, and I'm going to go buy a bunch of shirts and see what happens, and maybe like one gets a hole in it and I throw it out. So, you know, you have to be intentional about it, and right. You have to be very upfront and honest. And I think that's the other thing too, is the biggest mistake, is people are just not like they protect each other's feelings, you know, and you end up saying some white lies and it gets into a snowball. So just be honest with people.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people aren't honest. They like to kind of make someone feel better or not being honest with themselves about what they're actually looking for.
So that was kind of my thing too, especially going into Paradise. I wanted to go in and be as honest as I possibly could have. And maybe that's kind of what happened. I got stuck in like possible like white lies because I wanted to spare the emotions of the girls, I guess. I don't know. You said you watched it. Could you like maybe give me your kind of like synopsis of it?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I got the impression that you were a really nice guy. And I know that the F-boy thing has been thrown around a lot.
Ooh, I hate it.
And I totally get that you hate it, but I also get why people are saying it because And I mean this in like the most compassionate way of you seem like a nice guy, but like you end up in this state where you're trying to be nice to everybody. You're trying to people please. And all of a sudden you're in these situations where you're trying to kind of keep everybody's feelings in check, but you know, you end up kind of snowballing the problem. So I think there was another level of honesty that was needed of, you know, but also keeping other people's feelings in mind in a different way of like, how do my actions affect this person before I do certain things?
Right.
I think that's, but that's like, you got to grow into that, you know? And I think from what I saw is like, there's a lot of lessons that were able to be learned there.
Right. One of the things that I've definitely noticed I needed to work on is maybe being more upfront about like saying no to people. I've never really been good at saying no before. So I guess when you say, you know, I wanted to spare everyone's feelings, that's exactly how I looked at it. I never really want to hurt anyone's feelings, but I understand maybe if I nipped it in the bud earlier on, then nothing would have happened or nothing would have transpired to maybe upset either of them as much as they were, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the impression I got that you kind of got there and you're like a kid in the candy store. And I was like, this is great, you know, I'm going to buy all the shirts. And it just kind of snowballed from there. But yeah, saying no to someone, but also being aware of like, you know, what's going to happen when someone starts to catch feelings,
right?
You know, and thinking beyond yourself, you know, I think that nice guys make bad moves too. So it's not like, you know, this doesn't demonize you as a person, but like, yeah, you probably should have stepped back and been like, am I leading this person down the wrong path? Should I say no from the start instead of kind of allowing it to evolve on its own? You know, there's definitely more honesty, more no's, more kind of like stops along the way that I think could have made a big difference mm-hmm. in preserving those relationships. But even like on Ellen, I watched that clip too. And she was ready to kind of keep things going. Christina like made to me, and I don't know what the rest of the audience saw, yeah. is it seemed like she would give you another chance. And it's like, you got to stop it. Like, don't lead her on. You know, give it a stop put or don't, but be honest with her.
Mm-hmm. I was just telling the people that we have in studio right now that I think that like I just don't want to necessarily, and maybe this is where my biggest fallback is, like I don't like the idea of compromising anything that currently like kind of makes up who I am, you know, like the ideas, whatever it might be. I just don't, if I have maybe some sort of gripe with someone that I'm like pursuing romantically, then I kind of take that and you know, kind of give me an inch and take it a mile sort of thing. I get in my own head.
Okay, so what kind of gripes are we talking about?
That's a good question. Maybe disagreements along the lines of, I don't know, like maybe what it means to be in a relationship, what we plan to do moving forward, like all that kind of stuff. Maybe that's too soon for that, but just kind of like more relationship-centric stuff, not like grammar or anything like that.
Okay, so these are valid things. Maybe the relationship's moving too fast. Okay, so were you totally into her?
Yeah.
Okay. Beyond a physical attraction, and this is a fun person to hang out with.
Yeah, I think one of the things that drew me most to her was that she is incredibly interested in the most like ridiculous things, and I like to talk about like ridiculous ideas, like you know, just like random thoughts, and she's able to like contribute and like have her own like interesting ideas. Like there's a lot of like depth to her. And It was definitely more than just a physical attraction. I mean, of course, I thought she was beautiful, and you know, even obviously like looking back and watching, I mean, she's a beautiful woman. But there was definitely a lot more to it than just that. I don't know. I think this kind of, I mean, at least my take on it is like the self sabotage sort of thing is like when you see things going right, you find reasons to maybe make them go wrong.
Okay, is that a pattern that you have? I mean, in prior relationships, have you had significant prior relationships before these shows?
Yeah, I would say. I was only really in love once before, and I was young. I was like 15, 16, 17. But okay. I've had like longer relationships. Last year, my girlfriend of a year and I broke up, and you know, I don't think that the feelings were as strong with her as they were with Christina, which is kind of weird to think about. But
okay, so where does the self-sabotage come into that?
I don't know. I think that maybe even Christina and I talked about it at one point too. I think that maybe having lost my mother and having been so close to her, like the possibility of like growing so close to someone again, just to possibly lose them is like challenging maybe.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Obviously, you suffered that's a traumatic, you know, especially with someone in that female role, and that could be a huge part of it. So, you know, but your choice now is to recognize that and, you know, not sabotage. But was it sabotage, or, you know, was there a connection with Danielle too? So that's kind of the question that you have to figure out. Like, we like to label a lot of things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it all falls into that basket.
Yeah. Well, that situation was difficult too, because Christina hadn't really done anything wrong, and Danielle was great as well, and that she never really did anything wrong either. So I didn't really have a real legitimate reason to break up with one of them to pursue the other. You know, it was both women are great. I don't know exactly like which one of them is better. Like, I don't, like, you know what I mean? There was never like a moment that they did something wrong where I was like, okay, I can't date this person anymore. It was always just like good thing after good thing. And so maybe that was like the challenging thing too. Like, when neither of them are doing anything wrong, like I didn't really have a reason to end things.
Yeah. So the impression I got is that you shouldn't probably have been in a relationship with either of them. just, you know, from the outside looking in, the vibe I got off you. And again, like, you seem like an awesome guy. You love puppies. Like, that's awesome. But I think that, you know, there's, especially in that situation, there's a lot of, you know, that energy of just fun and excitement. And this, again, it's like a candy store and you're a kid running wild in it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just want to say, like, out loud, there's nothing wrong with not wanting to be in a relationship at the moment. Do you feel like you get into relationships kind of like accidentally sometimes?
I definitely think that. But so how do I handle that on my end then? Say, you know, because I did want to go into it with a fun mentality. You know, you're in paradise, you're on a beach, and you want to have fun with your friends and, you know, meet new people. But then if the other person is growing feelings much more quickly, like, how do you kind of meet in the middle and have like a good common understanding of what's going to happen?
You're in control of that. So you're driving the bus. And I say that to whoever has, you know, the receiving end of the emotions of someone else, you're driving the bus. So you are slowing down, you're speeding up, you are taking care of kind of the speed of the relationship or the lack thereof a relationship. So if you are enjoying someone's company, and, you know, part of this is that intentional dating of like understanding, like, maybe I just want to have fun right now, and that's okay. But you have to recognize when you start to see someone that, you know, starts to get the feels, starts to demand more of you or want more of you or ask more of you, and it's more than you want to give at that time. But the people pleaser side of all of us wants to say, like, oh my gosh, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings, so I'll just float into this relationship. You got to drive the bus. You got to take the wheel. And I think that's kind of where the disconnect happens, and probably why there was room for Danielle to come in and have this whole triangle, is because, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, that's what I wanted. I wanted to have fun. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm in this whole situation.
Yeah.
So you have to put the brakes on it, you know, and that's where that like radical honesty comes in, where you're like, no, I get it. Like, I understand. I'm awesome. I'm so glad that you want to be in a relationship with me.
And I think that was also kind of in the back of my head, unfortunately, too, is, I mean, at the end of the day, it was a Bachelor franchise show. And I think maybe I had ingrained in my head, like, you're supposed to be dating multiple people. You're supposed to be, you know, kind of exploring and dating as many people as you kind of can, or the ones that you're interested in, at least. So I guess maybe I kept justifying my actions while I was in the moment, but then obviously taking a step back and watching it happen on TV wasn't obviously the best thing. So,
yeah. Well, you can date all of them. It's just a matter of that radical honesty of like, hey, listen, I'm not interested in a relationship. And then there's also the people that are attracted to pursuing people who say they're not interested in a relationship. I see that all the time, especially with women who want to validate their ego, or guys too. You know, it goes vice versa, where all of a sudden, oh, you're unattainable. Now I'm going to work even harder. So it's not that, you know, it's all on you. Like, these people obviously have some responsibility too, you know, anyone in these type of situations. But at the end of the day, you are the recipient of feelings, and that's where it's like, you got to put brakes on it. Yeah. You have to.
Absolutely. Well, Rachel, it's clear that I still have a lot of work to do to be good at dating.
We all do.
And I'm definitely going to continue to work on it, but I definitely appreciate you taking time to jump on the phone with us today. And I hope to maybe have you back and talk to you some more. Maybe we can talk about the progress next time we talk.
I love progress. It's my favorite.
All right. Well, again, Rachel DeAlto from Married at First Sight. Thank you so much for the time, and have a good day.
Absolutely. You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. So I figure, in order for me to have future successful relationships, I need to get back to my origins and speak with the first kiss I've ever had. And so we will be calling Zoe, who is my fifth grade girlfriend of, I want to say, about a year. Long time. And maybe she can give us some insight. Maybe she has some speculation as to why I'm not so good at it now. Maybe she can speak it if I was good at it then.
How did you take us through it, if you could? By the way, I love how uncomfortable you are. Right? Where was this? Elementary school? What school?
This was Basalt Middle School. I was a fifth grader.
Middle school was fifth grade and where you grew up?
Yeah, 1 through 4 was elementary, 5 through 8 middle, 9 through 12 high. I think, and again, I could be wrong. Zoe was maybe one of the most popular girls in school.
Okay.
And I was a total dork. And I was a big dork for a long time of my life.
What city is this?
This is near Aspen, Colorado.
Okay.
So the next city down. And so just the entire time I knew I was overachieving. And
did you make a move to ask her on a date of some sort?
I honestly wish I remembered how it happened. I think she texted me asking to go to a movie. And then
you both had phones in fifth grade.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh, we racked up that cell phone bill high. My parents were not very happy with me. And it's funny too, because literally it was thousands and thousands of text messages, but just to her. And yeah, we went to a movie together. And
what movie?
I think it was like some shark movie. I don't want to say Jaws, obviously, but it was great. It was
well, let's see if she remembers.
Yeah. Is she on? Yeah, Zoe, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you for taking the phone call.
Yeah, of course.
This is already really weird, but so obviously, I touched base a little bit with you about what this is. I don't know if you watch Bachelor in Paradise, but I was on both of those shows, and I'm historically bad at dating now, and you're the first girl I ever dated. We were just talking about, back in fifth grade, how you were my first kiss. So we were thinking maybe like an origin story here about what it was like back then for you, what 11-year-old Zoe could help 26-year-old Dean with now, and then go from there.
Perfect.
So dive right into it, Zoe. Let's hear it.
All right. Well, the origin story about the kiss or in general?
Just our relationship.
I think it started with passing some notes back and forth, but I don't think we actually spoke for about 2 months into it.
Just via notes and texts.
Via notes and texts, and our friend, I think, did a lot of the talking for us.
Which is just the best way to start any relationship, I think.
Yeah, that was a good start. But then you were my first kiss too, and I remember we'd always make out outside of the high school basketball games, and it was a good kiss, Dean. I think you've probably only improved from that point.
I can only hope so.
I hope so too.
It is definitely an interesting evolution for us to go from trading notes back and forth for 2 months without really speaking to then being the first couple really to kiss in the entire school, at least in our entire grade.
Yeah, no, we absolutely paved the way for everyone. So.
And can you talk a little bit about what those kisses were like? Because I was trying to describe them last week, and it was just so incredibly awkward. Like, our friends would gather around us, and they would, like, pressure us into it, right?
Yeah, I think they would kind of egg us on to do it, almost chanting our names. But I think they would last kind of overly long for the situation.
That was great. Yeah, it was the best. Yeah. All right, well, so let's fast forward, because this is the part maybe that I haven't shared so publicly, is the moment that you crushed me and broke up with me. So let's transition maybe into the latter half of our relationship. I don't know what went on. What, you weren't getting what you wanted from me?
I was trying to think about this when you texted me what happened, and maybe I don't remember it correctly, but I think it was around Valentine's Day, and I was finally really excited to have a boyfriend, and then you didn't do anything. So.
Zoe, I was 11 years old. I didn't know what to do.
Well, I specifically remember having my dad take me to the store and, like, buy you some chocolates.
Well,
I'm sure it was awkward for him as well.
That's definitely grounds for dumping someone. Well, that's good to know. That's literally my first time hearing that. So I guess what you're saying is maybe I need to go more out of my way for a romantic gesture for whomever it is that I'm dating.
Yeah, absolutely. It never hurts.
That's amazing. I can't believe we've actually never talked about this.
Yeah, I can't believe we haven't either.
Let's see. So do you remember because I think that we went to a movie for our first date, right? Do you remember what that movie was? I remember we went to one movie like Lord of the Rings, maybe halfway through our relationship, and you slept the entire time. But I'm just trying to remember our first date.
Well, I think what happened was, didn't we, all our friends kind of got us to go to the movie, and then we snuck into a different one, right?
I don't know, to be perfectly honest. Is that what happened?
I think that's what happened, and then it was that, like, lizard movie. What was it called?
I remember I remember sharks for some reason, but it could have been Lord of the Rings.
I definitely slept through Lord of the Rings.
Yes, all of them.
Yeah, every movie. I know we did ditch all our friends to go make out in one movie theater.
God, we were so badass back then.
We were really badass, and that's probably why I don't remember what movie it was.
Okay, so moving forward then, now that you can take a step back, and I don't know, again, did you watch like Bachelor in Paradise or anything like that?
I watched The Bachelorette.
Bachelorette. Okay, so you saw me at my best and not at my worst. That's good.
Yeah, I did.
I guess knowing what you know now, and you know, obviously we haven't really remained incredibly close, but like, what advice do you have for me to be better at dating, or what do you seek out in someone that you date that is like a main characteristic for you?
You know, I think you did like, you're so like fun and silly to be around and everything, but I think just kind of opening up more and letting people like more into your life and how you're really feeling with things would probably be what I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Because like every episode I saw, you were just like bubbly, kind of like the peacemaker, but it was kind of hard to tell like what you were actually feeling.
Do you think that is encompassing of our relationship as well? Because we never really dove into the emotions of it. At 11 years old again.
We're quite emotional then. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we ever had one fight or anything. I think we always just had fun.
I think so. I think there was a moment where I caught you texting some other guy and I got really upset about it. But other than that. I mean, that's great. Zoe, again, I appreciate you calling in. I know this is obviously just kind of weird, but do you consider yourself more successful in relationships than I have been? Are you currently dating anyone?
No, I'm not. Nope, I would not consider myself any more successful.
Well, can you tune into this podcast every week and maybe we can get better together? Maybe we'll come full circle and reunite later in life. I don't know.
Let's do it.
But basically what you're saying, don't forget Valentine's Day if you're dating someone, because that's a deal breaker and that will forever haunt me, I think.
Yeah, or just do nice things for each other.
Do nice things. I think, well, the five love languages, right? One of them is not necessarily gifts, but I guess going out of your way to make sure that other person knows that you're valued in the relationship is important.
Yeah, some good quality time together.
Quality time, that's a great one.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're gonna have you jump off, but Zoe, again, I appreciate it. And hey, I'm gonna be in Denver next weekend for the Broncos game, so maybe we can rekindle our 11-year-old romance.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, thank you again. Have a good day.
All right. Bye, Dean.
Bye.
Wow. How'd that feel?
I don't know, the goosebumps just like hearing your voice again. It's like I'm 11 years old all over again. No, Zoe is definitely a sweetheart. She's dated, I think, some of my friends post, obviously, our fifth grade relationship, but she's a great girl. So it's nice to, I guess, kind of speak to her again. So additionally, each week, one of the topics we'll discuss is, do you suck at dating if? So the premise behind it is, if you do something consistently, are you considered bad at dating? Whether it's leaving someone on read via text message, whether it's if you post something on Instagram without returning the text. One thing I've seen is if you don't respond to a text, or if someone's not responding to your text, you can send them a Snapchat, because then it shows whether they open it or not. I've seen that trick been used in many relationships in the past, and I mean, it's smart. It's a way around to see exactly what's being screened in and out. But every week we'll have one of these topics of, do you suck at dating if, and maybe each week, by each week, we'll be able to kind of narrow down what exactly it is that makes me and whomever else suck at dating. So this week the topic is, do you suck at dating if you leave someone on read? 24 hours go by and no response via text message. I have my phone in my hands at all times, pretty much throughout the day. I'm on, you know, obviously social media, texting, whatever it is. And I continue to, I do often forget to text people back, whether it's someone I'm dating or whether it's a friend or a sibling, whatever it is. I respond maybe in my head and I forget to actually respond in the text message. And I can see how that could come across as sucky. So that's my take on it. I think that there are certain times when you can send multiple texts and that's perfectly permissible. I've definitely done that. But there are also other times when I think that if it's someone that I really care about, I want to make sure that I'm texting them constantly. But Caitlin in Pennsylvania, thank you for calling in. What do you think?
Hey, Dean. All right. I think that no way they don't suck at dating if you leave them on read because people have their own lives, you know?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you use read receipts?
I do, yeah.
So do you ever purposefully leave someone on read?
Yeah. I feel like it sends a message you want to send.
You want them to like sweat it out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, I know this is like kind of immature, but if people leave me on read for a little bit,
oh yeah,
like a day or two, if they text me back, I'll leave them hanging for like an hour. But I don't think I can usually go like a day.
Do you want to know a little secret that I used to do? And this might take a second to explain. So I used to, and you have an iPhone, I'm assuming, so let's just assume that.
Yeah.
If you have more than one message string that's left unread, when you open your messages app, it opens up the list of them. And so I would have read receipts on, but I wouldn't read every single message conversation because then, like, if I didn't read it and my read receipts were on, then they could always be like, oh, well, he didn't read it yet, so I don't have to get angry at him for not responding. But then when I did want to respond, I would open it up and they would see, obviously, that I read it. So I don't know if that's something you want to do. I mean, you're more than welcome to take my idea, but just, you know, just a thought.
Well, sometimes this is what I used to do. I used to scroll down like from the top and you can see like a preview of the message. So you can see if it's like important or not.
Oh yeah.
But if you do that, don't update your phone.
Why is that?
That feature went away.
Oh, so same premise.
Yep.
Okay.
It just says iMessage. So.
Oh no, you can change that. I think you got it. I mean, well, that's a topic for another time.
Okay.
But Caitlin, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. And
I've got a truly diabolical tip.
Okay.
For this. It's the same, on the same veins, what Caitlin is saying. If you want to leave someone undelivered for the rest of their lives, when the text message comes in, if you haven't read it, delete the text message.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be undelivered forever.
But what? So, and that's only if you.
And that's if you want the person to think, wow, this guy really does not want to read my text.
So let's say you delete that text message string and then you go to send them a new message with an empty blank message thing. Does it still say read or does it say delivered?
It'll say delivered.
Interesting. Wow. Well, Caitlin, you're getting all kinds of ideas right now.
Perfect. I love it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, have a great day.
You too.
All right. Next, we have Jordan Arizona, who says leaving someone on read means you do suck at dating. Jordan, how are you?
Oh my gosh. Who is this?
This is Dean.
No way.
This is Jordan, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling in.
I saw you this weekend.
In Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Well, now we're talking on the phone again. Everything comes full circle.
I see.
All right, so let's talk about this. You think that if you do leave someone on read, and again, this is assuming someone that you're dating, you think that does make you sucky at dating?
Yeah, because if you're busy, just tell the person you're busy. Or if you're not, like, you just need to be straight up and not date this person if you don't have time for them.
Don't you think sometimes it's kind of a bit rude to say that you're busy? Because you're kind of, by saying that, you're saying that what I'm doing now is more important than you.
No, it's not, because everybody has their own life. And if you're an independent person and you work or you do whatever, you need to know that about the other person before you start dating them and understand that they're busy too.
That's a great point. I think something that I have struggled with before is I text a lot, right? I like to make sure that each of my texts, especially with someone that I'm dating, are sincere and thought out, and at least are responding to everything that was questioned maybe in the one before that, right? So sometimes if I'm at the gym, if I'm on the go, wherever it is, I don't have maybe enough time to sit down and craft out the response that I want. So I leave them on read to maybe respond to them later. But I can understand how that comes across as maybe a bit rude in the sense that you're not giving them the response right away.
Yeah, all you have to do is say, hey, look, I'm here. I'll text you later.
It's that famous quote that says nobody's ever too busy. If they care, they'll make time, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that definitely makes a lot of sense. Jordan, well, we're going to jump off, but thank you for calling in. It was great meeting you this weekend. And
bye, Dean. Love you.
Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Molly in Long Island. She's the queen, the self-proclaimed queen of leaving people on read. Molly, how are you?
Good. How are you? Oh, my gosh. It's so crazy to talk to you.
No way. Thank you so much for calling in. All right. So, Molly, you're the queen of leaving people on red, right?
Oh, my gosh. I do it all the time.
What did you do to deserve that crown?
So, I was dating someone, and, we were dating for, over a year. And, I was never really good at, texting back. So, I guess it just got to a point where I was just leaving him on red too many times. And he, thought I was, talking to someone else, but, I wasn't. So, I don't know what his problem was.
So what was the reason for you leaving him on red? You just were busy?
I just am not a good texter. And, he was just also clingy, you know?
Yeah. So maybe you need to find someone that's a little bit more comfortable with being left on red because you're just going
to
do that anyways.
Yeah, exactly. Distant. Doesn't have to talk to me every second, you know?
Maybe you just shouldn't have your read receipts on.
I know. So after that, I turn them off. I don't have them on for anyone, except sometimes I turn them on just for certain people just to piss them off.
Oh, absolutely. That's actually my follow-up questions, because sometimes you need to make sure that someone knows you're leaving them on red, right?
No, yeah. Sometimes I do it on purpose, but now I have them turned off, and sometimes I have them off the whole conversation, and they start pissing me off, so I turn them on just to make sure they get the message loud and clear.
Molly, it's without question that you are definitely the queen of leaving people on red.
Thank you, Dean. I love you so much.
Thank you so much for calling in. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
All right, bye. All right. Now we have Sarah in Redondo Beach, who says, you don't suck at dating, but you suck at communication.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. Thank you for calling in. All right. So you say that it's not a dating issue. It's a communication issue is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think that you just don't really know how to tell someone that you're not interested, so you just choose to ignore the message because you're kind of scared of that, of hurting them, basically.
Right, and this is definitely a common occurrence in my life, and I have recognized it recently, and I'm working on it. I think that by being upfront and honest early is better than stringing them along, right? So the brash communication is the most important thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Gotcha.
Even if you're not interested, you just have to basically, be straight up and just tell them, because the longer they're in it, the more they get invested and the more hurt they end up being at the end.
So I'm going to go out on a limit, Sarah, and say that you don't often leave people on red.
I try not to. I try to be upfront because then, if I leave them on red, it kind of strings them along. It makes them more interested and they're more likely to keep, texting me. And thus, mm-hmm. I just tell them that. How I really feel. Hey, I just want to be friends. I don't feel you that way.
Let me ask you this. On Instagram, when you send a message to someone, it says seen. Is that the same premise, or is this only for text messages?
I think it's based, I've never, slid into someone's DMs, but I think it's the same thing. If it's someone that, it's one thing if it's a friend and they understand that you're uh-huh. busy and you'll write them back later, but if it's someone that's actually interested in you and they kind of make it clear and you don't respond to say if they're asking you on a date or something, I'd say that's, kind of leading them on. Or it's not telling them how you feel.
So, but don't you think that every conversation has to be left on red at some point? Because doesn't every conversation come to an end, whether it's
day? Oh, yeah. Instead of writing if you've already said your piece and there's really nothing to respond, or they write something super boring, then yeah, no. But if someone actually is trying to tell you how they feel, mm-hmm. or asking you, hey, do you want to go on a date? Or hey,
gotcha.
Do you want to meet up for this?
Okay, then, okay. So it's very very situational, right? It depends on what the conversation is. It depends what you guys are talking about.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
That makes sense. Yeah, because I guess if someone is asking you out on a date and you left them on red, it would be much different than someone, I don't know, telling you to meet them somewhere and leaving them on red, right?
Yeah, if they're talking about their feelings, or basically if it requires a response to something,
right.
They're asking you something versus just hey, what's up? Then yeah, you can just be I'll write them back, in a few hours or whenever I'll talk to them.
Are you a multi-texter? Do you send four messages at a time?
I try not to. I'm kind of the person that sounds if I want to say something, I'll write a long text. That'll probably be super annoying, but that's kind of what I do.
Sometimes I enjoy spamming people's inboxes. I enjoy sending 9 messages.
I have friends that do that. It doesn't really bother me. I just tend to write everything all at once.
Oh, gotcha. All right. Well, Sarah, that was amazing. Thank you for, I guess that definitely helps add a different dimension to the communication versus rudeness of it all, right? So thank you for calling in. Thank you for sharing your opinion, and I hope you subscribe to the podcast and have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, of course. Thanks. Have a great day too.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Well, that'll do it for the inaugural episode. Help, I suck at dating. And I'll tell you what, I already feel better. I feel like in only a matter of weeks, I will be significantly better at dating. And honestly, I owe it to my studio partners, Easton and Mark.
Thank you, Dean.
Oh, thanks, man.
I owe it to the callers. I owe it to Rachel DeAlto. I owe it to Zoe. Thank you, Zoe and Christina. It's going to take a long time, but I am very hopeful and optimistic that with everyone's help, I can eventually not suck at dating. And it's a journey that I'm glad to have you all along with me. Thank you for listening to Help, I Suck at Dating. And hopefully next week, I'll suck a little bit less.
Follow Help, I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.